Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Today we continue our series with Dr. John on the time of your life with a message entitled The Christian Pilgrim. Let us read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 to 16. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Let's go back to the Bible with Dr. John.
When it comes to pilgrimage, I love what C.S. Lewis said in this regard. He said, "Do not seek earthly pleasures, for there are only heavenly pleasures. Earth," he said, "has no lasting pleasure to give." I mean, you've got to make that your mindset. After all, it's because you are so discontented with this life, with this land, with this culture, with this country. It's because of this, that's why you're on pilgrimage. Or think of the words of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 7:29, he says, "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short." And of course, in that passage, he means that the day of the Lord is at hand. Soon Christ will in fact return. Soon the old order of things will be rolled up like a scroll, and the world and all its elements will be dissolved. Soon we're going to reach our destination. I mean, how long is that going to be? Well, not long, I think. And because of that, we're not attached to this world. And that's the first step in the pilgrim highway. This world is not our home. That's why that old Negro spiritual had it right. "I'm only passing through." So let's look at the next reason why we're on pilgrimage. We should seek heaven by traveling its roadway. Now, it's so significant to say this. All roads do not lead to heaven. Jesus said there is a broad road that leads to destruction, but only the narrow road leads to heaven. The pathway to heaven is the pathway of faith. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. We trust Christ. We learn to trust in His cross and not in our own righteousness and in the promises that God has made towards us. We make decisions now based on what God has promised us. All of our life, including our use of time, is based on trust. It's based upon faith. Now listen, for instance, how Abel traveled that roadway. In Hebrews 11, verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." So Abel was concerned that his offering, the thing that he offered to God, unlike his brother Cain, was to be offered as the very best of what he had. I think the difference between Cain and Abel's offering is not that one was a blood sacrifice and the other was not. I think the real difference is that when Abel offered his offering, he offered the best. And when Cain offered his offering, he offered only what was left over. And so Abel offers everything that he has in faith. And Noah, pathway of faith, is described in Hebrews 11, 7. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness by faith." And again, we see what Noah does. First, he believes God. He believes when God says that the world around him is destined to destruction. And because he believes, he builds an ark. And the ark that he builds both saves himself and condemns the world. He won't travel the pathway of attachment to this world because he knows this world is coming to an end, and he wants another one. He wants heaven. And so every day he's building a program that proclaims that he's on pilgrimage. He believes the world is transitory. For Abraham and Sarah, the pathway to heaven meant leaving their home, traveling to a land they would later receive. And so what does it mean for us to travel the highway to heaven? How do we fit into this story? Part of the answer is found in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now I wonder, have you ever been driving your car on an unfamiliar road and you say, I wonder if I'm on the right road? And so you look for road signs and they're going to tell you. And according to Hebrews 12 verse 1, there are in fact three road signs on the highway that leads to heaven. And if you're not seeing these signs, you are definitely on the wrong road. Here's the first of them. The highway to heaven demands that we travel light. We've got to lay aside every weight. Now that has to do with the earth's attachments. You have to lose your love for the things that are passing away. Let me get practical. How much money do you spend on the things that pass away? How much money do you spend on things that are eternal? I mean, here's an example. I imagine most of us by now have a big screen television in our house, and I don't know how much you paid for yours. And I'm not arguing it's wrong to do that. I mean, please don't think, you know, you're tuning into some legalistic mumbo-jumbo about something. But there is a question in all the money that we spend on entertainment. Would you be prepared to put in as much money into ministry, into your local church, and in the ministry of gospel proclamation, like this program, would you be prepared to put as much into it as you put into that which entertains you? See, I think some of us spend all that we have on this world and next to nothing on the next, and we are traveling heavy. We say, all the church wants is my money. Let me ask you a question. You ever walked into a store that sells clothes or computers or food, or I don't care what it sells, and say, ha, all these people ever want is my money. I mean, look at it. Every dress in this whole store has a price tag attached to it. That's just shameless. You know, we never say that about retail. And why do we take such exception at losing our money and possessions for the sake of the kingdom? You see, if you take exception, that's a warning sign. You're on the wrong road. You're traveling heavy. All your investments are in this world. You're acting like a settler, not like a pilgrim. You should be on the roadway to the celestial city. You're on the wrong road. Here's the second road sign. Put aside all the sin that clings. See, the highway to heaven is a highway of holiness. So let me ask you, what are the sins that are clinging to you? What are the ones you particularly love? I mean, maybe for you it's lust, or maybe it's power. And by the way, have you ever noticed that lust is the great trap of young men and power is the great trap of old men? I mean, power, that's an aphrodisiac to old men. For them, it's a way better than anything else they could have imagined. Or maybe for you it's riches, or maybe it's the dream of fame, or maybe it's self-indulgence, or maybe, well, you fill in the blank. See, tell Jesus, Jesus, I love this sin, but I want you to take it from me. I want you to make me hate it so that I will abandon it. I want to learn from you to hate every form of idolatry and find in you, Jesus, and in you alone my treasure chest of joy. That's the second road sign. That's how you can tell which road that you're on. I challenge you to do that. So two road signs that you're on the wrong road. You're traveling heavy, and you need to put aside the sin that clings so closely. Here's the third road sign. Run with endurance. You know, I was a long-distance runner when I was in high school. I was horrible at 100 meters. I always came in dead last, but put me on a 10K run, I just might beat you. And here's what I learned about running long races. It does require endurance. It requires ignoring all the burning lungs and burning muscles, and you simply will yourself forward. It means fighting through those times in the middle of a race in which you wonder whether or not you're going to get through. It means going for the goal. It means a long obedience in the same direction. And you can't be a pilgrim unless you determine never to quit your journey until you get there. So seek heaven by traveling its roadway. You see, we should spend our whole life traveling the roadway to heaven. That should be the great project of a life. It's not an add-on. See, some people read their Bibles in a spotty fashion. They show up church, they are irregular, they get involved in ministry, maybe they don't. They pray occasionally, they get back to the journey, and then it's kind of in fits and starts all of the time. It's like they're an occasional tourist to spiritual things, not a pilgrim, not a hardened traveler, not someone who's left home expecting never to come back. All concerns of life should be subordinate to this pilgrim life that we're on. I'm going to add with a word from Jonathan Edwards. He said, "Thus we should eat and drink and clothe ourselves and improve our conversation and enjoy our friends. And whatever business we're setting about, whatever designs we're engaging in, we should inquire of ourselves whether this business or this undertaking will forward us into our way of heaven. And if not, we should quit that design." Let that be your prayer.
Thank you very much, Dr. John, for that meaningful message that helps us to understand the value of time. It is indeed such a blessing to realize that the time is a very precious commodity and it has to be used wisely. Join us tomorrow as Dr. John continues the series on the time of your life with a message entitled The Pilgrim Life. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We're happy to announce Dr. John's 30-day spiritual devotional book known as Quiet Spaces. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The Bible is an effective weapon against sin. It also brings hope and renews us by reminding us of the promises of God. Bible warns us by giving us commands and consequences and shows us the unseen vistas of the glory of God and the life to come. Reading the Bible every day is one of the means of grace that God has provided the believer to maintain our spiritual walk. In this one-month devotional book, you will be provided wonderful thoughts of encouragement by Dr. John. To request your copy, call us at 9492-440070.